listening to Loving BDSM Podcast, episode 173. Kayla Lord's here with the one, the only, the guy who keeps forgetting what day of the week it is, John Brownstone.
I'm glad I have you to remind me, otherwise I wouldn't have shown up until tomorrow for this.
I know, that's why you keep me around.
Yeah.
So I can tell you what day of the week it is.
Exactly.
That's what submission looks like, y'all. This week, we're talking about teamwork in your DS relationship. Welcome to the Loving BDSM Podcast. If this is your first time listening, glad to have you. If you're back for another week, welcome back. Loving BDSM is produced every Friday for your kinky pleasure and education, and show notes are found at lovingbdsm.net. Come back often and feel free to add the podcast to your favorite podcast app. If you love what you hear, we'd love a good review wherever you listen to us to help other kinksters find us, and those reviews really do matter and they really do make a difference. And I have dreams one day of seeing our logo on the top sexuality podcasts in iTunes or Apple Podcasts, like when you go into like a browser or whatever. Like, that's my dream. And part of that is about the reviews. So I'm just saying, if you like what you hear, review us. If you don't like what you hear, you can keep that to yourself. No. reviews. Okay. You can follow the show on Twitter at Loving BDSM, on FetLife at Loving BDSM PC, on Instagram at that handle I will forever and ever fucking hate, Loving DS and the number one, Loving DS one. Or on YouTube at youtube.com/lovingbdsm.
Just think of all the anger you could let go by just...
No, I give myself something to be annoyed about every week, and then that means I'm not lashing out at other things. I've already, like, used my quota of random annoyances that don't need to be annoyances, but they are. And so then I can let other things go. There's a method to my madness, but I'm going to finish this.
Okay.
Are you going to let me? Can
yeah,
I finish this?
Thank you, can. Daddy. You have permission.
Or you can follow us on YouTube at youtube.com/lovingbdsm, where you can watch us live stream the podcast every Thursday. Except for next week. We'll talk about that later. All links are in the show notes. A big shout out to our kinky patrons on Patreon, including our new peeps. We see you. We love you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. If you'd like access to more content, like the bonus section we just put out for April for our kinky patrons only, and to more of us and this thing we're doing, you can become one of our kinky patrons for as little as $1 per month. Head over to patreon.com/KaylaLords. Again, patreon.com/KaylaLords. Or use the link in the show notes. First things first, before we get into anything,
we have
our sponsor.
Correct.
We have a sponsor for the show, and it is The Butters, getthebutters.com. So we talked about them last week, whether you listened to the podcast or you watched the video. And there was one good question that came up, and I did not have the information right off, so I'm going to answer that question. And because it was a legit question. So we use primarily either silicone or glass toys. We don't use non-silicone soft materials most of the time.
Right.
And we don't use condoms. So for us, the Butters is perfect lube. Perfect lube.
Yes.
But somebody asked the very legit question, like, wait, can you use it with other stuff? And I went and found the answer. So officially from the website. Let's see. You can, it works with silicone, glass, wood, ceramic, leather, PVC, silagel, lambskin, polyurethane. It is not at all recommended for TPE or TPR, as you'll see it on a sex toy material list, TPE slash TPR, cyber skin, jelly, rubber, ABS. Those are very porous materials. Anyway, I know why people own those kinds of sex toys, and sometimes that's just what you can get and that's what you can afford. But yeah, the Butters lube is not recommended for those. It has not been tested with latex, vinyl, or ASA. I'm not even sure what ASA stands for.
I'm not sure either. Not, sure. Not familiar with that.
But if you're using latex condoms, it's not tested with the Butters, and that might not be a test you want to make on your own.
Yeah.
Just saying. And then it says here that initial tests show compatibility with Fleshlight material. I think their material is called Super Skin or something like that.
Okay.
But if you have a Fleshlight, you might be okay, but that's just like early stages. So for the question that came out of, well, can you use it with other stuff other than just skin on skin? There you go. That's the information. GetTheButters.com has more information, details. You can read the ingredient list, all that. If you decide to buy anything from the site, use code Kayla. You save a few dollars. We get a small percentage commission. Life is good. I did want to real quick. So I placed an order. Like right after we, I needed to place an order. I have been waiting to place an order. And then Jerome was like, I'll sponsor the show. And I went, great. Oh, that's right. I need to place an order. So I just like, I paid for this stuff. I don't, we need to buy more lube. We're starting to run low.
Yes.
But I bought other things from there. I have brown sugar moisturizer, aloe and shea. And I have the Lavender Bloom Aloe and Shea Body Moisturizer. These are thick, 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 thick. I love them. I don't like watery lotions. Those could just annoy me. They don't. My skin's still dry. But this stuff, it smells really good. The brown sugar is my favorite. Every time I put it on, husband and children will go, you smell good. I'm like, thank you. I smell like brown sugar. So there's that. And then I'm trying a new thing. I don't have a full review to give you yet. Initial tests are good. It's foot cream, a refreshing foot cream with lemongrass and eucalyptus. It smells so good, y'all. Oh, so good. It's like fresh. I love lemongrass. It's good.
Yeah.
I did have to shake it up. These are all natural, all like normal ingredients. Like you could make this on your own if you wanted to. Don't just buy it from Jerome. And it did separate a little bit. I was a little hesitant. The foot cream I usually use, I don't know if you're familiar with it, it's called O'Keefe's. And they do hand cream. It's that thick stuff that's not like a lotion at all, but it's like for crack heels and stuff. That's what I usually use. But I wanted to try this. It felt good going on, and it made my feet so soft. We have bamboo floors. I almost slipped because I had no traction between my foot and the floor. So
yeah, and I told her if she hits the floor, she's on her own.
Yeah, yeah. So that's the butters. They are a sponsor. Show them some love.
And I love them too. I mean, not just for the lube. I have a couple different scents that I use for my beard.
Yeah. Oh, it makes your beard smell so good.
And keeps it soft too.
Yeah. Yeah, it does. Yeah, it does. Oh, I just want to like touch your beard. Everybody wants to touch his beard. Only a few can. Just saying. Okay.
Rub my beard and I'll rub your butt.
Yay! Yay! Okay. So let me get to my notes.
Okay.
I made notes. So here's the thing. We actually decided on this topic on Monday. I was very proud of us. We did not wait till like 10 minutes before we turned on any recording equipment. and we decided this conversation while we were exhibiting the teamwork behavior that I think is important. And then I could not stop thinking about this topic all week, like when I should have been working on other things. It's like, you know what I'd rather do? I'd rather think about this topic. This topic's great. I love this topic. And I do love this topic.
Well, I'm glad you were thinking about it while I was busy doing other things.
You have been busy doing other things, and we're going to talk about that.
Later, yes.
Because that's why we make a great team.
Yeah.
So I'm not even sure exactly where to start with this conversation because kind of like last week, I have lots of thoughts.
Okay.
Lots of thoughts. But I will start with how we came up with it.
Sure.
So we're driving down the road. We did a trip to storage in Ocala, pre-move, all that stuff we've been talking about lately.
Correct.
We're in the car together and we're talking about, I think we were talking about the logistics of the move at that point.
Correct.
I know what, and we were talking about something else. We had lots of conversations going on. We were talking about the logistics of the move. And it sort of came to me, I was like, this would not work if we did not work together. I mean, essentially that's what it is. We're working together to make this move happen. If one of us was not able to participate in some way,
It'd be a cluster. Yep.
And then the other conversation we had, Monday was a really good day. So I am the type of introvert who loves deep conversations. I'm really, really bad at small talk. I can do it, but it's not my favorite. I love deep conversations. And I also like comfortable silences. Like if I don't have to talk and I can just be in your presence, I'm a happy, happy girl. And we have both of those abilities, deep conversations or comfortable silences. And we have both. Yeah. It was like the best, as exhausting as it was and as cranky as I ended up getting. It was hot. I got hot and I got cranky. Anyway, we had both for that. It was like the perfect little mini road trip because if we were talking, it was meaningful conversation. And when we didn't have anything to say, we were just sitting there just enjoying the silence and it was wonderful. But the other conversation we had was we were talking about how we've been planning for this move now and talking about it nonstop for nearly a year.
Better part of a year.
I'd have to go back and see when we first started talking about it. For about about a year. And now it's coming to fruition, and we're going through all these steps, and some things aren't going the way we planned, but they're happening, and we're checking things off the box, you know, off the list, whatever. So I said, well, it's kind of nice to know that we're going to get through this move, and then we have like another like year before we buy a house, but that'll be on our mind too, but it won't be as labor intensive as what we're doing now to get ready to sell. What do we do next? Like, what happens next? What's next on the list? And some people, I think, this is why we're good together. Some people will go, Jesus, woman, you're finishing this and you're talking about what's next. Yes, yes, I am. Also, he has a better reaction. He's like, I've already been thinking about it. And it just sort of struck me that part of that's about our compatibility, that we complement each other very well.
Yeah.
And where I'm strong, you might not have those strengths, but where I'm not strong, we fit. And so we are constantly sort of thinking about what things we can do together. Mm-hmm. The other thing I have learned, so I know patience is important. I know it's important. I don't like patience. I've decided. I know you get stuff done in a timely manner with less stress when you're just patient about it, but I don't like it.
I don't think the word patient and baby girl go together.
I don't like it. So that's off topic. So I started thinking about this, about us, about how we are a team and what that means. So one of the things that came to mind was that what makes us a team, and I think a successful one, is that we have a common purpose.
Yeah.
Now we have, as individuals, we have our own needs, we have our own desires, we have things we want to do as individuals, but ultimately we have a common purpose.
Yeah.
Like, and sometimes it's that purpose is specific to a goal. We want to sell this house and move into another house. That's that kind of goal. And then I think, and tell me if you would say this differently than I'm thinking it, we also have sort of the common goal within our relationship, which is to be happy and fulfilled and satisfied most of the time, and to explore ourselves and each other in different ways. Would that be a...
That's accurate, yeah.
Yeah. Would you say... I mean, is there something else that we're trying to accomplish together that I'm not...
No.
Thinking that, about? That's it? That's all you want to accomplish with me? We're going to go get kinky together. Okay, that works. That works. I mean, I think it gets broader than that. We are in a long-term loving marriage. So, you know, we're trying to grow old together, and we're trying to be healthy together, and we're trying to raise children together. But it's all about together.
Together. Yeah.
So I would tell you if you asked me, and you're not, but I'm going to tell you anyway. I do not consider myself a team player. Now, I do in the sense that I want what's good for a group. And if I'm forced to be on a team, I did not do sports as a kid. I did band. We marched. We marched together. We marched together as a team, but I only had to really worry about me. I like that. If you force me into a group or a team, I'm going to do what's best for that group. I will sacrifice myself a little bit. I will not. I will compromise and not get what I want if it's for the greater good. I think I can be a good team player, but I would much prefer to be playing alone, quite frankly. Just, that's why I work for myself. I don't want to talk to anybody. I don't want to have to like run every single decision by anybody. I say this as a submissive. I understand the irony. That's different. We are all complex, complicated creatures. We can be multifaceted. But I typically hate group work. I typically hate teamwork. I usually hate it.
You do.
I do. And I would say in some ways, especially now, I couldn't go back to like a corporate work environment where everything's like, let's go have a meeting about this. Inside. Like I just couldn't. No, I would be very cranky. No. And yet, being on a team with you, I've learned some things, and I think I've become a better team player because of it.
Oh, do tell.
Right. And I think this is good whether you're Dom or Sub. I think this is something that we all need to learn. I do think that anybody who has spent most of their time in control and then finds themselves part of a team will struggle with this, and so that's not just a Dom or Sub thing. Because I know a lot of submissives who are like me. They're like, I run my life, and the reason I submit to a partner is because I need a moment where I don't have to run my life. And the thing I learned, and I have only learned with you, I was incapable of learning it in previous relationships, is that there's more than one way to get to a common goal and a common purpose. And my way is my way. My way is not always the exact right, perfect way. Now, intellectually, I think we all know that. If somebody says that to you, you go, yeah, I know that. But do we though? Because think back to action. How many times have you been the one, I've done this, you're loading the dishwasher wrong. Now, there is technically a wrong way to do that because you want the dishes to get clean, but there's also technique and there's also like ways that we each do it and we still get to the end, same end goal, the same outcome, right?
The finesse.
Really? Is that the word you meant? I don't know if that's the word you meant. Don't think there is. Maybe that is. I don't know. My point is that what I've learned in the relationship that you and I have is that I might have a way in my head that I think something mm-hmm. should be done, but because I submit to you and you're in charge.
True.
I've had to learn because of my submission, quite frankly, that we can do it a different way and still get to the same end goal.
Absolutely.
Have the same outcome. And I do think that in a lot of relationships, in general, kinky vanilla, some of the problem people have is they want the same common goal, but they want to get there on their specific path and only their specific path. And mm-hmm. any other path or deviation is wrong, doesn't feel right. Now, that we're not talking about limits. I'm not talking about what your kinks are. I mean that you could place things side by side, or you could stack them one on top. Like, it's a variation in the same way of doing something. Not, I expect you to do something that's, you know, not who you are, not true to who you are. That's not what I mean. But there are multiple ways to arrive at the same place. And it's okay to take a different way than the one you planned. I also say that to dominance. The reason I think John Brownstone and I make a good team is not just because we have good communication, which I think is a must, and we trust one another.
Certainly helps. It's all a piece of the pie.
Right, which is definitely a must. It's that he also listens. So yeah, he's in charge. He's the decider. But he doesn't need to always be the one with the right answer either.
That's true.
And I think that's part of being a team too. One of you has knowledge, expertise, experience in something that the other one doesn't. If the one with the knowledge is the submissive, then they're the ones that need to lead that moment, whether it's to provide information mm-hmm. or to sort of decide the best course. Or the way we do it is I get sent to go get the information and come back with it. And I go, okay, here's what I know. Here's what I've experienced. Here's what I think.
Right.
And then the decider goes, okay, we'll do this or we'll do that or we'll tweak it a little bit. I have learned over time that when I'm the one sort of sent to go get the information and he doesn't know, but he knows I know more, whatever, I like to give choices. We could do it this way. We mm-hmm. could do it that way. What do you think? Because that's about personality and me knowing your personality. If I just say this is the only way to do it, you're going to have that little moment of doubt creep in of, is it really?
Exactly.
Is that the best way? And then all my hard work's for nothing. And now mm-hmm. I'm ticked because you're going to go do it anyway. And
then I'm going to be like, prove it to me.
Right. So pro tip, if you're ever in this, this is dealing with people in general, give options. But that's another thing I think about teamwork is that, you know, a lot of people think, oh, well, the dominant's always in charge. The dominant should always have the answers. The dominant should always know what's going on. The dominant should always decide. The dominant should always sort of be in the front leading the charge. And that works much of the time.
Yeah.
But what I love about you is that you lead from behind. You're like, oh, you know more about that? You're better at that? Go do that. And then I'm going to give you credit for having done it.
Right.
And I'll help make the decision. I'll take responsibility ultimately for what's happening. But this is your moment. You know, I know there are people mm-hmm. who come across us online that do not understand why the submissive is doing all the fucking talking. Well, one, I like to talk and I have lots of
she does.
To say. But when it comes to content and ideas and putting words together, that's my strength.
Yeah.
I mean, it'd be like me trying to go out in the garage and see if I could sand up a paddle or something. No, I'd lose a finger.
Sure you don't want to give it a try?
No. I'll take my words. Thank you very much.
Okay.
All right. So there's, it's a big topic. I knew it was a big topic. Mm-hmm. It's a simple topic, I think. So if you understand the concept, but you're not seeing how it can apply in your own DS relationship, I would say that there might be some communication problems in the DS relationship. Because ultimately, whether you have a casual we meet up when we can, we get kinky when we can, mm-hmm. kind of thing. Or we're long term, whether we're long distance or not, whether we're married or not, and like that part doesn't matter so much, but we're trying to be in some sort of long term relationship. You should have some common goal you're trying to achieve. And it doesn't have to be like a big event kind of goal. It can be an ongoing, mm-hmm. I want to be happy with you and I want to feel my most submissive self while you get to feel your most dominant self. That can be the goal. And that's an ongoing, never ending until you're ready to end it kind of goal. And if you don't know what your common goal is in your relationship, that's time for a conversation.
Yeah. But see, as it's a simple topic and yet it's got a lot of moving bits and pieces, because as the dominant, as the leader, I have to look at you or say another sub that I would be considering, okay? Mm-hmm. And as the leader, I have to look at that person and say, oh, this is their strength. Mm-hmm. This is their, this other thing is a weaker point for them. Mm-hmm. All right. So I need to be able to recognize their strengths and utilize their strengths. And at the same time, in order to help a submissive grow, also help them strengthen their weakness.
Yes, absolutely. Work on some of those weaknesses. Right. Now, and there's this other part of it, though, that I think people get stuck in of, I have my role. I'm going to use the submissive as the example. Oh, of course. I have my role, and I'm the submissive, so I'm supposed to wait to be told what to do. I'm supposed to wait for this. Now, you can negotiate that dynamic. We've talked about that mm-hmm. many, many times. And sometimes people want some level of micromanagement or obedience or submission that is outside of my realm of possibility, but that's okay. And you can have that. That does not, however, mean that you are not playing on a team here. And as a team member, you have to participate and do your part. Now, your part will be different many times, sometimes all the time, sometimes less so, than your dominant partner. Mm-hmm. I was trying to think about how we understand the concept of teamwork, but I was like, how can I relate this back to DS in a I'm using air quotes here, real world analogy. And I thought sports, and then I went, no. And then because we're reading Harry Potter to the youngest one, I got it. It's Quidditch. Now, I can't remember all the parts to Quidditch, but the keeper is doing a different job than the seeker.
Yes.
And the beaters are doing a whole other job completely. Yes, this is your Hogwarts mention for anybody who's a Harry Potter fan. And they all have to do their part to
get to the end goal.
To get to the end goal, right. And to contribute to the overall team. And I think that some submissives get it in their mind that they're not supposed to speak up. They're not supposed to say something. They're not supposed to point out a problem. They're not supposed to, you know, interject with their opinion. And depending on your dynamic, you should never not be in a relationship where you can't do that ever, but you might have to temper how you do it with what you've negotiated. Maybe you have a set time where you talk about these things. Maybe in the middle of a certain moment that goes against your protocol, fine. But you should still always have that ability to bring your strengths, your knowledge, your effort to the team and use it to benefit everybody and both mm-hmm. of you. We talk about DS relationships in a binary way of dominant and sub, but I think the team analogy can become broader than that because there are people who are in open relationships, and depending on how you set that up, you might be romantically or sexually or kink-wise attached to this person, but mm-hmm. their partner might still be a part of your group and this partner. And so there's a team dynamic there too. It's different. It's a lot about communication, but there can sometimes be right. That kind of team dynamic too. But everybody has to play their part. Everybody has to do the best that they can, which might not will change from day to day depending on what's going on. Mm-hmm. And they have to give an honest effort, and they have to communicate what the hell's going on. So if there's something going on in your relationship where you can't give as much as you have been, you can't be there for the phone call, you don't have the mental bandwidth right now to deal with this big conversation, mm-hmm. You have physical ailments right now that are preventing you from doing the kink thing, it's your job to speak up, say something, bring that to the attention of the two of you, the team, so that everybody's on the same page, everybody's can adjust together, and then maybe you change what you were going to do, or you do something different, or you, you know, whatever, but you're still working together, because DS is collaborative. There is, you know, regardless of what the predators on Twitter and FetLife want to say, a Dom doesn't just show up and start issuing commands and submissives fall to their knees. Like, it just doesn't work that way. You are working together the whole time. You're giving, you're receiving, you're pushing, you're pulling, and that's regardless of which side of the slash you're on. It's never just the dominant is always in charge of knowing the things, and just the submissive is in charge of doing what they're told. There are variations of that, and there are shades of, God, help me in this expression, shades of gray within that, you know? I am the lead when we are public speaking and when we are doing content and when we are doing website stuff. That I'm the lead. I'm going to go to you and go, here's what I want to do. What do you think? Because our power exchange doesn't end just because I'm in that lead role. But that would be silly to go, well, he's the Dom. He's got to be in charge of that.
All right, baby girl. I need you to set up the lighting, get the mic set up, adjust the soundboard. Update all the software we use.
Red. Safe wording right now. Because, first of all, we would all be in the dark and you wouldn't be able to hear me. And I'd still be recording off a laptop. Because when I was in charge of tech, that is what I did. Recording on a laptop. I had some other thoughts. I have to go back to my notes. Because I had other thoughts and they have flown out of my brain. I know. So the other thing we talked about, it's collaborative. You have to do your part. Submissive has to be in the lead sometimes. There's several things. That's what I wanted to talk about. That I knew I had a train of thought going somewhere. So some people will get really confused by this and say, well, I'm the submissive, but I'm leading this thing we're doing. Maybe you're doing a financial thing in your relationship and you're the one who knows money. So your partner goes, you need to take care of that because you know how this works, right? Okay. And I know many submissives will go, that makes me feel less submissive because I'm in charge of this. Here's how I handle that, because I totally get it. When I get put in charge of something, even when it's something I love being in charge of, there are those moments where I'm like, nothing about this is screaming submission right now.
But when you're doing that for me, baby girl, you're serving me.
I know. Well, I had a thing. I know. I had a whole way I was going. Here's how you do it. This is a pro tip from one sub to another. Yes, you can try and keep in your head the whole time, I am serving my dominant. Here's the thing, that will work until it doesn't work, especially when, like, I get really excited coming up with content ideas and coming up with plans for what we're going to do. And, like, it's like, that's where my top energy is anyway, personally. And I will forget that whole mindset of, I'm doing this as a submissive. I'm like, I fucking love this shit. Let's do more of it. I'm in charge. Hear me fucking roar over here. Like, I know not everybody's like that, but that's how I am. Okay, so if you are also like that, or you forget your mindset of you're doing it to serve your dominant and your DS relationship, here. So I'm in charge of a thing, I'm in charge of a thing, I'm in charge of a thing. But he's the decider of everything, because that's our dynamic.
Mm-hmm.
So here's what I do. I figure out all the ways I would be happy to do this thing. This option, that option, this option. And I bring it back to him and go, here. Here's all these things I'd like to do. Here are the different ways we could do them. What do you want to do? So no matter what, he's picking something that I want to do. I've done the research. Huh. I've only decided, I've weeded out everything. I'm like, nope, nope, nope. Don't want to do that. Don't want to do that. I'm presenting options. I could live with any of them. I'd be happy with any of them. And he still gets to decide. And then that's when I'm submissive, because outside of DS, what I would do is go, oh gosh, anxiety, which one do I pick? Or I'd go, eeny, meeny, miny, mo. Or I'd try and do all of them, whatever. But I would decide and I'd move forward from there because I wouldn't be a submissive. But in a DS relationship where we're a team, I'm going to bring it back to him. Just like we talked about at the top of just let your Dom decide. Exactly. I was in charge of this thing. I love this thing. But all this power has gone to my head. I'm now feeling very submissive. Here, Daddy, you pick. But I'm happy with whatever he chooses. And he trusts me, because I'm the team member with that experience, to bring that to him. He knows that I have the expertise in that area.
Well, I can't think of exactly what the idea was at the time, but you came to me with an idea. It was a very good idea. I agreed it was a good idea. And I was like, I think we should do that. Mm-hmm. But I think the timing is wrong. I think we need to wait until after the condo is sold, we have a place, and we're moved in and we're settled. Then we can put our focus
to that. Everything lately has been, woo, that's great after we move. That's wonderful after we move.
You did the same thing for me. I was looking at there with my woodworking, there is a tool that I am looking to get to stabilize wood. Remember we talked about that?
Mm-hmm.
And I saw it on sale probably about 2 or 3 months ago. And I was like, ooh, I should get this. And we were talking about it, and you brought up a point I hadn't thought about because it's a lot of little pieces to it. And you were like, well, you know, if you get it now, you're not going to be able to do anything with it.
Mm-hmm.
And you're also going to have to pack it up and move it.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
I'm all about anything we don't have to pack up.
And I was like, you know what? You're right. That's a very good point I hadn't thought about.
And there's two things I hear in that I think are important, especially for submissives, but for DS relationships in general. First of all, submissives, just because your dom speaks it does not make it the perfect, brilliant idea. If you've got an opinion, you've got to learn to speak up. You do it within your dynamic. You do it in what's authentic to your power exchange. So maybe it's respectful. Maybe it's done in a certain way or a certain time, but you've got to speak up. That is you contributing to the team. Two, dominance, when your submissive gives you a good idea, even if it was completely the opposite way of the way what you were thinking, and it caused you to change your plans, if you can see the benefit, and please God, put your ego aside and see that your partner is contributing and helping, and you know, just because it's different from you and what you thought, you need to acknowledge that. Because if you want them to be that honest with you going forward and be willing to come to you, because right now it's something as simple as, you don't want to pack that. You don't want to deal with that now. You can't even do anything with it. What's the point? That's a simple thing. But what about when it's a big thing? Mm-hmm. What about when it's something to do with their health or their mental well-being, and it's why they can't physically do a kink thing anymore, or it's about their needs and their desires? If you haven't developed the rapport and they don't have the confidence that they can come tell you the small things, why are they going to tell you the big things?
Right.
So, you know, submissives, once they sort of get into their role and get comfortable with their role, become more comfortable with taking direction and listening and sort of going, okay, yes, whatever you want. And maybe not whatever you want. I don't say whatever you want unless I'm really feeling that submissive. But you know what I mean? Like, once you're in your role and you feel comfortable there, it is much easier to just go, okay. And the difference is you've got to be willing to switch over and go, but have you thought of this? And dominance, you've got to be comfortable having somebody in a respectful way that's good for your dynamic come back at you and go, that's not a good idea. This might be better.
Right. And that's a good point. And I have said this in the past. I have not said it in a while. One of the things that I said to Kayla very early in the beginning, you are open to talk to me about anything. You are open to tell me anything that is on your mind, anything you are feeling, anything that worries you, any good thing, bad thing. Do it in a respectful manner.
Exactly. And that's how we roll. And he can tell when I am not in the right place because I'll forget to be respectful. Yeah, I will. But by and large, that's, I can say anything as long as I'm respectful. And that's just the rule we both have for each other.
Right.
If he gets on, it's rare, y'all. Y'all know how nice of a human being John Brownstone is. Like, literal nicest person I've ever met
in
my life.
Don't ruin my reputation.
My God. Even salespeople from stores you only shop at once a year, remember you. Don't even talk to me. Literal nicest person on the planet. But I can tell when things are off with him because he always speaks to me respectfully too. It's not just a...
It's not just a one-way street.
Exactly. And so the few times he's gone over a line and I'm like, oh, I know disrespect when I hear it, and excuse me? that's a good point where I interject with, whoa, 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 that's not cool either, and then we bring it to the back. And that brings me to another part of teamwork that is not the, easy side of it. So with us as a team, when we are clicking along and everything is just, we're firing on all cylinders, and even when there's struggles and stresses and things aren't working out perfectly, we are on the same page, and so we move forward in really good ways. That's great. Yeah. That's wonderful. That is not how life works
all the time. That's not how life works all the time. Yesterday was a perfect example of that.
Now, both of us were.
Both of us were kind of on edge. I had a very long day again yesterday, and I came home, I was just exhausted. Was just a long day, and you started throwing out ideas about actual move dates for the movers.
Just trying to deal with the logistics.
And I was just so brain dead and overwhelmed with everything I had to deal with through the day. Mm-hmm. And I told her, I said, look, this is not the time. This is not the time. And I understand why you wanted to pursue it, because it is something that needed to be settled.
We got to get it done like this week.
But I was just, my mind could not take in anything more at that point. And I could not make, I was literally incapable of making any more decisions at that point yesterday. And I actually used the safe word.
Our communication safe word.
We have a communication safe word.
For when Kayla goes overboard.
Yes. Yes.
If one of you is the talker and the planner in the relationship and it's overwhelming for the other one of you, I recommend a communication safe word. I don't like it. It pisses me off because I'm at a point in my life, I don't talk about things, plan things, unless I feel like they're extremely important and I have reasons why I'm doing it right at that time.
No, but it, like I said, it is
effective.
Yeah. But you know what? In all fairness, since we implemented that safe word, which has been probably a year or more.
Yeah, probably.
I would say maybe two, possibly three times used.
I hate that fucking thing. I don't want it to happen. I'm like, I'm trying to plan my time well. And that's on communication. But there's another element to this here. And this is the thing about being, when you look at your relationship as a team, okay? You each have your part to play. Are you the seeker, the keeper? You're the beater. Just saying. I don't know what I am. You're the beater. regardless of your role to play, here's the thing about teams, big teams, little teams. Sometimes one of you can't give 100%. Sometimes you're exhausted. Sometimes you spent 6 hours in the car doing big things. We'll talk about that later. And you just have no more to give in that moment. And so then when possible, the other member of the team carries a little bit more weight, does a little bit more. I did not have a day like you did yesterday. I had a relatively easy day, but my day before, my Tuesday had been like a 15-hour day. It was just wild.
Yes.
And then I'd only gotten like 5 hours of sleep, and I'm at an age now, 5 hours, I'm not even human with only 5 hours of sleep. This is not good. And I was exhausted, but my day was easier. I'd been home. I'd been like braless all day. Like life was good. You know, that was a good work day. And you had just gone and run the roads. So I knew how exhausted he was. I could tell on the phone when you were coming back and you're calling me to let me know you're coming back that you were not your normal self. He couldn't make decisions. I was going, I think we need to do this. And you were like, yeah, that's fine.
I have a hard time speaking in full sentences as it is. And I was way off the mark. Yeah.
So as a way to serve, because this is, I'm coming from a submissive perspective, but also as a way to sort of keep the team going and keep us both going, I offered to go pick up the kids from school. I don't usually do that.
I was so grateful for that.
I do morning drop off. He does afternoon pickup. It's going to be weird next year. I don't know what we're going to do. I was exhausted, but I had a little bit left in me. I had a little bit more mental clarity. Yeah. I also just wanted to be a really sweet baby girl to my daddy and like do something for him. And this was an easy one to do, but it took weight off of him, even though that's his responsibility. That's our agreed responsibility. And it gave him a little bit of relief, let him relax. He was in a better mental place. You know, by the time I got home, I was exhausted, but that was okay. And that won't always work. So,
no.
But my point is, when you can, one member of the team carries the team for a short while. As long as part of the that's about trust too, because it's easier to do it when you know your partner's got your back when it's you, right? Like, I know when my mental health goes wonky and all I can do is lay on a couch and not speak to anybody, that John Brownstone's going to take over a couple of things from me. He's going to manage things I normally manage. He's going to keep us moving forward.
Right.
And sort of carry me along with him until I'm back in business. The times when it gets toxic and it's bad is when you are the one, and we talked about this, I think, last week. When you're the one doing all the work and the other person's like, what? And they're just
kicking back with their feet up.
Right. And they're benefiting from it and they're not contributing to it. Then you're in a bad place. Then you're not functioning as a team at all. Now, I know I can like hear somebody else's voices in my head, and I love that. Somebody's going to ask, but what about when you're both in bad places? What about when you're both sick? You're both ill. You're both this. You're both that. Because that happens. There are people in relationships with chronic illness, with disabilities, with mental illness. Like, there's stuff going on. And sometimes both of you aren't at your best at the same time. And that is a time when you're just going to muddle through. You're going to have to. You're going to do the best you can. They're going to do the best they can. And you're going to practice self-forgiveness and forgiveness of each other.
Sometimes that's all you can do.
Right. Sometimes, I mean, that's... People who have chronic conditions know way better than I could ever talk about that sometimes that's all you can do is just go, okay, I'm just going to do this. I'm going to get through this day.
But that's not a failing on either part.
Not at all.
It's just life. Life happens.
Exactly.
Like that.
And I would say that I would imagine there would still be times where one of you is in a better place than the other. Well, then when it's, when you're the one who's got a little bit more energy, a little bit more this, a little bit more that, then maybe you push everybody forward together. And then when that flips again and it's the partner who's got a little bit more to give, then they push everybody forward a little bit more and you work towards whatever your team goals might be. But it is a give and take. You know, I used to go by the thing, it's an old trope of in marriage it's 50-50. In relationships, it's 50-50, right? And really, and then somebody years later, I heard somebody say it and I went, no, I agree with that. It's really 100-100. Everybody needs to be given 100%.
Right.
But the reality is sometimes you only can give 75% and sometimes all you can do is give 10%. I think it's give what you can give, whatever you've got to give.
It's a matter of balancing each other out.
That too. Because what'll happen is sometimes John Brownstone can only give 75%. I might not be able to give 125%, but I can maybe do 105. Hell, if I'm just doing 100% and he's doing 75, we're better than if we're not doing anything. If we don't care about the other, if we're not trying to help each other out, if we're not working together to accomplish whatever it is we want to accomplish. And that's not just task-oriented stuff like selling a house. We want to have a healthy, thriving relationship. Okay, so what are you going to do today together for each other to accomplish that goal? Because if you're doing it all on your own, you're gonna breed resentment, that relationship's not working, and that other person's benefiting from all of your hard work and you're not getting your needs fulfilled. Like, people get real worried that they feel really selfish, that they're upset that their needs aren't being met. Well, no, I mean, yeah, that is selfish, but we have turned the word selfish into this really negative, ugly word. And it can be. It can be. Mm-hmm. That person in your relationship benefiting from all of your hard work and not contributing at all, they're the bad kind of selfish.
Yeah.
You deciding, wait, I don't want to live this life anymore, and I don't want a relationship where I have to do everything, they do nothing, I'm miserable. Yeah, that's selfish by a definition, but it's not a negative kind of selfish.
No.
It's a self-preserving, healthy kind of selfish.
Well, there has
Please
to
be selfish.
There has to be, regardless of which side of the slash you're on, you have to have some kind of self-care.
Right. You have to take care of yourself just as much as you have to take care of everybody else.
Yes.
Sometimes more. The best analogy, I love this analogy. They're like, in the airplane, in the safety talk, when they tell you to put your mask on before
first,
you help somebody else,
yes,
it's the same thing.
Yeah.
It is the same thing. If you are falling apart, falling down, you're not sleeping, you're not eating, your health is wonky because you won't go see a doctor, you won't go to a therapist, whatever you need to do to take care of you, how the hell are you going to take care of anybody else? And that is both sides of the slash. That is both sides of the slash. Submissives will think it first, but dominance... The good dominants know they have a lot of responsibility in their relationship. So you have said it many times. I've got to be healthy. How can we keep doing this if I'm not healthy? Now, health is a It's a thing that is a lot of it's out of our control. Things happen. Yeah. Injuries happen. Illnesses happen. Conditions happen. Some of it you can't control. But when you can look after yourself to give yourself the best chance of decent health, then you should do that. It's why I care about when we go to sleep. It's why I go to a therapist. Mm-hmm. Not just because, oh, I had an anxiety attack a week ago. I go all the time because I know for me, that helps me be a productive member of this family, of this relationship, as a business person. Like, that's what I need to try to keep myself as healthy as possible.
Yes.
What everybody else needs will be completely unique, and what you're able to do for yourself will be determined primarily on your circumstances. But recognizing that you have needs that need to be met and that you have to take care of yourself if you're ever going to take care of anybody else, that's not a negative, selfish, bad thing. That's positive and healthy and right. You know, if we both individually decided that we were not going to deal with aches and pains that we don't have an explanation for, that we weren't going to take medicine when we're sick, that I just wasn't going to do anything about my mental health. Not that I maybe didn't have the means. If I don't have access, that's something different. But I had access. If I chose not to use that access, that's an abuse of privilege right there.
Yeah.
Because I do. But if I decided not to do that, and I decided, you know, whatever happens in my head, whatever, I am not contributing to the team of this relationship well at all. It is a responsibility to me to take care of myself. So I can be a functioning parent. I can be a functioning spouse. I can be a functioning submissive. And I think that's part of teamwork too. So if you are at a point in a relationship where you're like, well, I take care of them, but it's selfish of me to want things for myself. Fuck that. No. It is selfish in the right way. It's the right kind of selfish. And quite frankly, if you are able to list everything you do in your relationship for your partner and you can't name a thing they do for you, and they can't name a thing they do for you, beyond giving you the opportunity to call yourself submissive or dom because you're in this DS relationship, no, you're not playing on a team anymore. You are doing all the work and they are benefiting from it. And that's a problem.
Yeah.
Oh, I went on a rant, didn't I?
Yeah, you did.
Oh, I got, like, I'm hot, y'all.
Well, yeah, look at your cheeks are all red. And
oh, they're warm, too.
Yeah.
They're very
warm. Got that blood pressure up, girl.
You know what? And part of it is I get pissed because I was in a relationship like that. Not as a submissive, very vanilla, but I was in that relationship where I gave and I gave and I gave. And I neglected my health. I did not go to the doctor. I did not take care of myself because I was giving so much to my family. And when I look back on it, the person who should have been giving back didn't until they recognized I was about to leave. And they recognized it before I did. And it was too little too late. So I am absolutely passionate and very, very opinionated on the idea that both sides have to contribute. You don't necessarily contribute the exact same things. You have complementing roles, especially in DS. I mean, we do things differently for the other. And sometimes you can't give the full weight of what you want to give. You can't give 100% because your body won't let you, your mind won't let you, something's going on. But that, as long as that's the exception most of the time and not the rule, and it's not because you don't care, it's because you can't, something is preventing you, like, that makes a difference. Intent makes a difference. If you're trying really hard to be this team player in this DS relationship and some other outside factors are preventing it, that's one thing. But if you are like, what? We're a team now. I thought I was the dom and I could just say what I wanted to say. Whatever. Or, ooh, you know I don't have time for those kind. Or, though, if you're a submissive who's like, oh, I just wait. And I wait for my dom to tell me everything. Can you negotiate that? Yeah, but I still contend real life will always intervene. Eventually, your dom's going to get sick. They're going to be tired. They're going to be stressed. They're going to have a meeting they didn't know they were going to have. Something's going to come up. And if you're sitting around waiting for them to tell you what to do and they're passed out in the bed with the flu, well, what? How? Why? Huh? Like, what the fuck? It's... We talked, was it last week? Because we were talking about managing expectations last week. And we were talking about you have to be engaged in the process. Like, you gotta be a part of this, you know? I can feel my blood pressure rise.
Okay.
Yeah, I know. Let me go through my notes. I want to make sure I didn't, like, leave anything
all right
out, because that rant, I got way rantier than I...
Than you anticipated, didn't you?
So I guess the last bit of advice I would give, because most of the people I hear from are people who are in a DS relationship with struggles. It's usually when somebody will reach out and they'll be like, oh, this is not going well. What do I do? The other time is when they're really, really new and they're like, ah, where do I start? But if you recognize that your relationship is not where you want it to be, you're not happy, your every day feels like another stress, another fight. Like it's supposed to be hard work. I mean, a relationship is hard work. It's not supposed to be miserable.
No.
It's not. And if you're miserable, like you're happy because you're submissive, you're happy because you're dominant, but then you're like miserable. If it's a relationship that you want to salvage, and most of the time it is, the first conversation I think you should have is, what is our mutual goal? What are we trying to accomplish here? Because sometimes you are on two very different pages. Sometimes you want something long-term and loving and that lasts for, you know, some version of forever. And sometimes what they want is something casual. They didn't want this much responsibility and they didn't think it was going to be that deep. Mm-hmm. And if you are operating under what you want and expecting them to be operating under it too, but they're on their own little path doing their own little thing and you're not on the same team, it's just misery waiting to happen.
And I think that's why you and I work so well together, mm-hmm. whether it's in our DS life or in our day-to-day life, because we set goals.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? We have long-term goals. And we don't just jump in and try to take a huge chunk out of it and say, okay, we're here. We manage to set step goals.
Yeah.
All right. Step goals that bring us to the big picture.
Mm-hmm. We did that in the early part of our relationship. Everything we've done, we do that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, because early in our long distance relationship, once we realized, oh, this is a relationship. Oh, that's right. Kayla's not just like, you know, she's not actually going anywhere. Then it's a process.
Yeah.
What are we going to do this? Then when we realized that, okay, long distance, we wanted to end that crap. We wanted to be together. Then it became another process. But this works with concrete goals. Like, we are going to move in together June 4th, was it? 2014?
Yeah.
Yeah, June 4th, 2014. We're going to move in together that day. Well, you don't just like decide on one day and then do it on the day. Like, there's a process to this stuff. And so we work together on each of those processes. I was thinking about this with our process and our goals. We love working for ourselves. I cannot imagine.
Yeah.
I just cannot imagine working for anybody else again. But but we also, and we are raising the boys and we're doing, but we also want a certain amount of stability in our life. Now, stability when you work for yourself can be difficult. It's a challenge. So we have been working together as a team to give ourselves the best chance of stability.
Right.
Paying down our debt, which took a back seat while we sold the house. Now we're, you know, gonna rent for a year, which, God, we're gonna pay way too much in rent. But the end goal is, at the right day, we're gonna buy and save money, and we're gonna pay off this debt, and we're gonna pay off that debt, so that the end of this particular process is we get to a point where we look at our expenses and we go, okay, this is manageable. We can do this. This is fine. Even if like things take a hit for a month, well, we're good. Because for us to be happy in our relationship with the work we do, we need to feel like we have some stability in our life, a little bit of comfort. But it's not a matter of let's just earn even more money. It's more like let's pay less money. Let's owe less money. I'm finally dealing with debts I've had since I was in my 20s, quite frankly. It's really sad. I turned 40 this year. I feel like a real adult. But everything. The thing we were talking about that led partly to this topic this week was, I said, what do you want to work on when we got the housing situation done? When we've got our debt paid off? When we've, when we've got our debt paid off, because some of that's going to take a while. Student loans, totally get it. But what's next? Like, that was, and that's the other thing I would say is, if the team aspect of DS like really resonates with you and you're like, okay, we got to this goal. Well, for us, the question is, what's next? And it was led to a really great conversation because you knew immediately what was next. And the moment you said it, I went, yes, that's next. And that was about our kink and sex and DS connection.
Right.
Because we've been so focused on building business, selling house, doing this, paying bills, mm-hmm. well, all these outside things that we want to get done so we have that sense of stability that makes us comfortable. That you can't, you can only give so much focus.
Right. And that's exactly what I said. If we had been 100% focused on our kink and DS, we would not have achieved what we did to get to where we are right now with everything else.
Right.
It would not have been possible.
Right. But it was funny when you said, "Oh, I want us to get like back to like exploring kinks and trying new things and having sexy yeah. fun time." I immediately went, "Yes," because I totally recognize it. But then I had that moment, and I don't, maybe it's a submissive thing, maybe it's just a person thing. I had that moment of, "Oh, that's right. We haven't been doing. I could be better. I could be better." And that, but then we continued the conversation and talked about, right. well, we've put our focus here, blah, blah, blah. And so we approach these things as a team as well.
Mm-hmm.
Even though I know John Brownstone is the decider, he's going to make the ultimate decision. He takes on that responsibility. It's my job to contribute to that. It's my job to, it's communication 101. It's my job to say, this is what I think, mm-hmm. this is what I want, this is what I hope for, this is how I think it could work. You are never a dictator in these things. There's always an exchange of ideas. There's right. always a back and forth. Because for me personally, in order to be able to let somebody else make these massive decisions for me and to be okay with them, I have to know that I've been heard. I have to know that my point of view has been weighed and considered and measured and taken into account. And the reason that this works is because we have had this back and forth with our communication from day one, and little by little, moment by moment, we've earned each other's trust. He knows I'm going to tell right. him what I think, and I know that he's always going to take my thoughts and opinions and experience into account, and I know yeah. that he's going to rely on me. So I get this question a lot. This isn't just about the teamwork. It's overall DS relationship question. I get this question a lot about, well, how do you do that? How do you build that trust? And I watched this amazing Netflix special, Brené Brown, The Call to Courage. I've read most of her books. I've watched everything on YouTube I can like get my hands on. I love Brené Brown. She studies shame and vulnerability. And even if you're not into that, or you're like, who or what, it's fine. Love me some Brené Brown. Totally yeah. recommend her. Go watch her on YouTube. But she talks about vulnerability. And vulnerability, a lot of us go, ooh, I don't want to be vulnerable. But if you're in DS, I know submissives have got to recognize this. If you are in DS, you have already done the very act of being vulnerable with another person. You've already had that moment of like laying your soul bare and going, I'm submissive. Could you please dominate me? Or I want to dominate you and do things that society says I shouldn't do. Like, you've had that moment of vulnerability. And the way trust is built is by having these moments of vulnerability with your partner. They start small. They start like with just a little mm-hmm. thing. Like, I'll tell you this little thing that I don't want you to tell other people, but if it got out, I'd be okay, right? You start with little moments of vulnerability, and you give your partner the privilege of having that moment with you. And then you watch how they respond to it and how they treat that moment. Do they treat it with respect? Do they treat you with respect? Do they honor what you've just told them? Are they worthy of this information? And when their behavior and their response and their actions give you the sign that yes, then the next time you move on to a little bit more vulnerability and something a little bit bigger. Mm. We now live in a state where I can go from 1 minute going, oh, I really want us to buy this at Sam's Club this week, to, oh my God, let me tell you about this awful thing that happened I've never admitted to anybody. Like, I can do this in one conversation over coffee at Starbucks. Like, yeah. that's where we've gotten to. But that, to me, is how we are able to work as a team, because right. we've had those moments back and forth over all this time where we have the faith in each other that even when we don't see eye to eye, and that does happen, mm-hmm. promise you, when you communicate safe word on me, I'm not seeing eye to eye. We respect each other enough, we trust each other enough to at least take a breath and step back and go, that's their perspective, I'm not seeing something.
Right.
Our dynamic is this, and so I need to stay within the bounds of our dynamic. We will work through this. I have the trust now that we will work through it. Whatever we don't see eye to eye on, I don't have to panic or freak out or flip out anymore. I can go, I'm not happy, I don't like it, but when are we going to get coffee to discuss this? Because that's how we do things. So that question that some people have of, well, how do you get to that point? It's little by little. It's letting yourself be vulnerable, seeing if you can trust them with that. And if you can, if they handle it right, then you show a little bit more. I would recommend not laying out all of your vulnerability on the first date and showing them everything, but that's just my recommendation. And if you're like, what's this vulnerability? I'm telling you, Brené Brown. Love her. She's brilliant. So this is one of those things that I could
talk for hours
on, but I'm not gonna. We've got some stuff to talk about in the bonus section, and we got mail and like just stuff. So do you have anything else you would say about teamwork?
I think we've done pretty good.
I know.
I hope.
I think so. Yeah. Hopefully somebody got something out of it.
Yeah.
Even if it's just watching me rant, my face is still hot from that rant.
All right.
Okay, so.
Are we good?
As good as where we're going to be.
Right.
Okay.
Keep it kinky, y'all.
And we'll see you next week. Okay. Top of the bonus section. For live stream viewers, reminder, next week, May 8th, 9th, all that in it, we are live streaming on May 8th, a Wednesday.
Yes.
Same basic time, just different day. So, and if for any podcast listeners are always like, oh, I wish I could watch, but Thursdays aren't good. If Wednesdays are good, come join us. We're fun. Want to do a Patreon shout out to Lorana, Kalina, and Jay, conduit of queerness itself. And we got mail.
We got mail.
We got a postcard from South Carolina from kinky patron CDC, who I believe is watching the live stream while we record it. So that's even better. And here's what I love. So this is already up. If you're a podcast listener, I posted it to Instagram. I may go back and post it to Twitter if you follow us on social media. So here's what I love about this postcard. It's from Charleston, South Carolina. So CDC says, came here for birthday week, love Charleston and visiting family. They're in the Phoenix, Arizona area, but they show up in various places in our travels. And then happy move. Yay. Okay, so here's what's cool. I have a connection to Charleston, South Carolina too. I have not been there in 20 plus years. I was a teenager, 14 or 15 last time I got to go. I have family that lives in South Carolina. They're distant family. They're not anybody I'm especially close to. My grandmother's sister, my great aunt, she lives in South Carolina with her husband. And I used to be closer to them, but it's, like I said, it's been 20 years since I've really seen them. I saw them when my grandmother died, which was 15 years ago. God. But my mom and I, every time we would go to South Carolina when I was younger, we would always make sure to go down to Charleston so we could walk and see stuff. And I have wanted to go back. There's several places I used to go when I was a kid with family. Charleston, South Carolina is one. St. Augustine, Florida is another that I'd love to go back with you. One, I'd love to go back as an adult and view it through adult eyes. And I'd love to go with you and like have fun with it. So this was great to see this. It's Rainbow Row East Bay Street in Charleston, South Carolina. So before we get into our news, I did see one question that I wanted to answer for the bonus section. It was CDC who asked the question. Hello, CDC. But she asked, was access to the BDSM community a factor in choosing our new location for our move? And that's an excellent question.
Yeah. It was to a certain point.
It was one of those things where we kind of went, we think we'd like to live here. And so we were like, okay, we have family here. That was the first thing.
Right.
Then we looked at housing prices. Like, could we afford to?
Exactly.
And then we looked at the kink community.
And then I went into FetLife and started researching the kink community.
And you're a member of a couple of groups now, aren't you?
Yes.
He also, we won't talk about it because one, not our place to talk about because we don't know the details. And two, it's not important anymore. He also got to witness a little bit of drama that went down in that community.
Yeah.
I was like,
yeah.
That's very dramatic. I mean,
the thing is, here in Florida where we live, the area that we currently live in has a huge, huge kink community.
Mm-hmm.
All right. There are three or four munches that go on.
I think there, more than that, but yeah.
There are numerous munches. There are several clubs.
We're the home of Fetish Con every year.
Yes.
Florida Power Exchange, a statewide event, happens here.
Yep.
The other, and you know, Miami is a hotbed because it's a big area. Orlando has the Woodshed, which is a very well-known club, at least in Florida. Right. Jacksonville has a thriving
community. You know, the other thing in the Tampa Bay area, there is a strong swing community.
Mm-hmm.
You know, with some crossover into BDSM, there you know, poly community. It would be hard to top that.
Yeah.
Anywhere, so
but
to
you
speak.
Know what? Part I'm but, there's.
Go ahead.
I was gonna say there's a part of me that's like, it's cool to know that that's all here, mm-hmm. but we also don't take advantage of everything that's here.
It's impossible for
well,
one thing.
Well, one you and know, two, one. Yeah. We're at a stage in our life where it's like, well, we're raising kids, we're doing this, and so I keep, you know, I'm not trying to get my kids to grow up any faster. Okay, maybe I am a little bit, but I do have these moments of, oh God, when you're much older than you are now, and I can go here, there, yonder, and do these things and not worry about, you know, who's at home watching the kids or whatever. I do look forward to that.
Sure.
But yeah, so the kink community was one of a few factors. Like, I don't think I could have lived in a kink desert, but we talked about this. I said, if they don't, because right as we were thinking, yes, Ocala's where we want to live, and he's looking at what's on FetLife, and he's witnessing on the little bit he saw on FetLife of their drama, I went, okay, here's what I'm going to do. Is what we're going to do. This is just it. And he was totally with me. I was not telling. There was no telling. I said, if they don't have a community, I'm going to fucking make a community.
We'll make it, yeah.
Because I know there would be kinksters there. Because they're everywhere. They're just everywhere. So, fortunately, they seem to have gotten one, maybe two groups together.
Yes.
And Gainesville is not that far away.
No.
So, we thought we might, if we get an opportunity, we might go see what that's about.
Mm-hmm.
And then we'll be just as a little bit further away from the Woodshed as we are from our club now. Not miles wise, but driving time
well,
wise.
Where we are at, we will actually be closer to the Woodshed.
No, what I'm saying is when you think of where we live now and how long it takes to get to our club now, and you think of where we're gonna live in Ocala and how long it takes us to get to the Woodshed, it's not that much different.
Pretty much equidistant,
it's because we have a main fast shot to Orlando at the Woodshed than we do to our club here.
Correct.
So, we...
And the thing is, where we are at in where we will be moving to, Ben, we are coming back, planning on being back in the area now and again.
We've got friends here, for sure.
We have friends here. We, you know, we have ties to this area. But where we're at, we will have much easier access to, say, go to Jacksonville. We have easier access to go to Orlando to come back here.
Yeah.
You know, where...
And we'll have family in town so we can, like, throw some kids at them every once
yes.
in a while. Please, please watch them.
Yeah.
Like, we may have a thing in August in Texas that's not confirmed yet, so that's why I'm not giving any details or dates. And the way that will work is if I convince my aunt and uncle, and they're comfortable with it, like, can you watch these two children for a weekend? We've got to go do a thing. And as soon as, if that thing comes to fruition, I promise you the moment it does, I'll tell you all about it. So, our announcement / news, for the record, part of this, the kinky patrons on Patreon got to hear first. The other part just happened. Nobody has been told. I haven't even officially told my family yet. Oops. Okay, so the first news. So when we recorded last week's episode, episode 172, we that day had just listed the condom.
Yeah.
Like, I think by the time we started recording, like, it was up on the MLS and the pictures were up. And I think by then it had already happened.
While we were recording, she came and put the lockbox on the door.
Yes, that was why we finished the way we did, because we could hear her put the lockbox on. Okay. We had a showing Friday.
Yes.
We had a showing Saturday. We had
a showing lined up for Sunday.
And then, Saturday night, we got a full price cash offer on our condo.
Yep.
Oh my God! Yep. Amazing. And of course, that's the moment when all the stress drains away, and then you go, what the fuck was I stressed about? Y'all, we do not live in a palace. They saw something about it. They liked the price. I don't know. I don't even care. Thank you for your offer. So now we have the home inspection on Monday.
Monday.
And that's the only like last about it, because there, I don't anticipate anything being found. But if something is found, then we got to like deal with that, yeah, whatever it might be. So we think everything will be fine, but you never know. So that happened. And then so we didn't just go to storage on Monday, did we, Dottie?
No, we didn't. We took a driving tour of Ocala.
We had five houses properties on our list. Rentals, because we're renting before we buy to make sure we get the right kind of area. Right kind of area meaning, do we like this neighborhood? Is this the part side of town we want to live on? And it was funny because there was one side of town which is more like living where we live now, where you're just close to everything, the Starbucks, the grocery store, the everything. And I thought, oh yeah, I'd like to do that. And then we went in this beautiful neighborhood. I was like, oh my God, this is a really nice neighborhood. I've never been in a neighborhood this nice. And it ended up going to the very bottom of our list because it was too...
The way I looked at it, it was a nice house. It had more things going for it in some ways.
Yeah.
But those things that it had going for us were things that are not us.
Yeah.
Okay. I told Kayla, I said, I felt like I stepped into an episode into the Stepford Wives.
Yeah, all the houses were like identical. All the streets were identical. Now, there was some really cool, it was one of those like newer neighborhoods and subdivisions. And so it was really manicured and it was beautiful. And there's a gorgeous park and there was like man-made ponds. And it was beautiful. Mm-hmm. But like I could have stuck my arm out the window and touched the other house.
Yeah.
And I can do that here. And that's part of why we're moving. And I was like, I thought I'd like being on this side of town. So that's why part of why we're renting.
Yeah.
So we drove around to see where these other homes were located. We put two on our top two list.
Right.
We get home and it was Tuesday morning. You made phone calls?
Yes.
And the first call you made, they actually called back.
Right.
We're still waiting for the second place to call us back.
Yeah.
And we started looking and talking and blah, blah, blah. And then Wednesday, day before we record this, you made another trip to Ocala. Why did you do that?
I went up there to meet with the person who called us back and take an inside tour of the house.
And
drop off the renter's application.
Yes. Now, we're fairly certain this was no big deal, but you never know. There's always some... And so then what happened this morning?
We got the phone call that we were approved and we have the place.
And I had to pay lots of money.
Yeah, all right.
He got the email for the... Because the guy doesn't do PayPal. Like, I do PayPal. I do everything with PayPal. And I was like, can we pay him through PayPal? Because we were talking electronic payments. And so he sent it to John Brownstone, who sent it to me. And so that I had to click the button. I was like, this is a lot of money. And it's only the first part of a lot of money.
Yeah.
We have our rental.
Yeah.
So the next part of the conversation where I got safe worded yesterday was trying to figure out the logistics of moving trucks. So we don't know. When we moved into the condo we live in now, we actually hired a local mover. We had packed everything up, but they got it all out of the apartment we were living in. They drove it over here. They unloaded the truck. It was great.
They came. They loaded the boxes. They took apart the beds.
Right.
Loaded it. Came here, yes, took it all out, put
wonderful
it back together.
Worth every penny that we paid. So we've been going back and forth about would we hire a mover again in that same way, except it's more expensive when you go out of town than when it's an in-town trip. Or the other option is you can rent your own U-Haul. You can hire movers here to pack your U-Haul for you. Then you drive your U-Haul, and then you have movers on the other end, local there, that unpack it for you. And so we're trying to figure out all of that. That is, at this point, of the major steps,
that's the last step.
We think we know when closing will be because we have an approximate date.
Right.
And so we're trying to make that work with when school lets out for the kids and when we want to be in Ocala. Because for me, it's like I want to get there. I want to get the kids registered for school. I want to figure out the lay of the land. I want to blah, blah, blah. And then in the middle of all this, we got great news that the kids are going to their grandparents for 3, maybe 4 weeks over the summer.
Yes.
And this, now, y'all, the people who've been around for a while, y'all heard a few weeks ago our drama of post-London and whatever. before that drama, the plan was we were going to go drive to Mississippi, do a visit in Mississippi probably for a week, and then come home and whatever. Well, that's not really an option now. So my mom is going to drive down to Ocala after we've moved, spend a couple days with us, get the boys, whisk them back to Mississippi, and then she'll come back a few weeks later. And I feel kind of bad for that because that's, I mean, she can do it. She has the means and the time. She's retired now, but I'm sort of like, I feel like it's better if we divide the labor there and divide the miles on the car. But so I didn't think it was going to happen at all. I didn't think we were going to, they were going to go to their grandparents for any amount of time at all. And she's like, nope, this is what we're doing. I just have to set the date for when I'm coming out. I went, okay, that's fine. I kept saying, I feel bad. She's like, don't feel bad. I'm like, I feel bad. Don't feel bad. And then I finally went, I'm not going to feel bad anymore. Please come get my children. Give me a few weeks of like no kids because yeah, that doesn't happen very often. It usually happens with grandparents, quite frankly. So yeah, things are moving right along. The thing I was telling John Brownstone, probably today, earlier today when we were talking about it, it's the great unknown where we were very, very stressed about it because selling a place is stressful. We've talked to a lot of other people who know just how stressful it is because they've gone through it. And there's this part, it kind of fit with the teamwork thing. I was like, so were we ridiculous to be that stressed out and it was always going to happen that way? Or has it been going relatively, knock on wood, smoothly because we've been so stressed out? I don't have the answer for that. I just know I'm always
probably never will.
Right. I'm always going to be stressed out about these things. So there you go.
It is what it is.
But yeah, things are, I will say that once we got all these things in place, we've got, you know, the home inspection being the last thing. And we have to be realistic. Something could be found, but I can't imagine what, quite frankly. We have a new roof. We have a new AC unit. It's a condo. We only are responsible for the insides. So I'm not sure. But that's not stressing me out. I'm just being realistic that you have to go, something could be found. But once the contract was on this house and the address of the new home is known, like, I've just been like, why was I so anxious? I know why I was so anxious, but it's very annoying. And I don't know if other people who, especially generalized anxiety disorder and have anxiety attacks that literally just like come upon you. Mm-hmm. I don't know if anybody else feels this way, but I always, even though I recognize why it's happening, there's something between brain and body that just, I have that really heavy anxiety response and fearful responses to certain things. But I always feel stupid afterwards. I always feel like what was wrong with me? I shouldn't be that way. I can't help it. I recognize that. But that's what always goes through my mind when the things I was terrified of either worked out or weren't. I shouldn't have been so terrified. If I just calmed the hell down, it would have been okay.
Yeah.
And I know that that's not a response I can control. I can only manage it at this point. I can sometimes prevent things, but not big things. And uprooting your entire life and moving it over 100 miles or so gets to be considered a big thing. So yeah, the anxiety for right now has just dissipated. Like, I'm productive again. I'm cheerful again. I'm not walking around with all this noise in my head of just how bad I am and things are and all that negative stuff. Like, I'm like back to my normal self, and I'm looking back at like last week, like, what the hell was wrong with me? So there you go. We have, as of the date we are recording, not always the date you're listening or watching, but the date we're recording, we have two more episodes before we go on hiatus.
Right.
And we're gonna try to keep those topics maybe a little bit light so that we make it easy on ourselves too. Because now we're gonna go into the whirlwind mode of it's the end of the school year, all of those things. Oh, also we have to pack, also, you know, just stuff. And I'm gonna do the thing where I tell everybody that I write for, you get my undivided attention up until about Memorial Day weekend, and after that it's like
for about a week. Done for a bit.
Yeah, well, we don't know what it'll be. I was thinking
uh-oh.
That not next week, but maybe that last week The last episode we do before we go on hiatus, I think it's the May 16th episode, if I'm remembering my dates correctly.
Okay.
That maybe we do a thing where we let people submit questions sort of and ask us anything, not just about kink, but like anything. And then we just do an episode where we take like some of those questions and we just answer them.
I like that.
I mean, we
like that. Yeah.
We do it for our Patreons every month. And I'm not going to stop doing that. But I thought, you know, every once in a while, especially since we need something that is just,
yeah,
whatever. So if anybody has any thoughts and opinions about that, on YouTube, leave a comment, on the podcast, just reach out to us. If you follow us on social media, let us know what you think. And then what we'll do is probably a few days before that episode, I'll put something up on social, the community tab on YouTube, wherever else, to go, hey, ask your questions. We will not answer every question we get.
Yeah.
But, you know, if that's something people would be interested in.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I think it's a good idea.
Yeah. So, yeah, I thought so too. Mm-hmm. See what happens when the fear and the noise in my head like finally shuts up, like other thoughts can penetrate and you know, get through. So yeah, that's about it. That's about us, right?
I think so.
Yeah, lots of good stuff.
I'm ready to take a nap. I'm tired.
But you can't take a nap. You have to go get children. Well, you don't have to go right this second.
True.
Right. And I have a conference call with a client soon.
Yep.
Which I think is a good one, so that's good.
Good.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's us. That's it. I think that's it. I mean, part of it, yes, ape, you heard me say penetrate too, yeah. There's a comment in the YouTube chat. You can almost hear the penetrate. That's what I was thinking right after I said it. If you had commented on me saying penetrate, I would have Beavis and Butthead laughed with you, but you didn't.
No,
you
I didn't.
Let it go right by.
See, I'm too tired.
I know. Y'all, all day today has been like, oh, well, tomorrow when we record, I'm like, no,
yeah.
Today is Thursday. But in all fairness, I woke up this morning and I thought it was like Tuesday. And then I got panicked. It was like, oh my God, Tuesday.
Well, the trip Monday wore me out.
Oh, that was a long trip.
Then Tuesday, making all those phone calls.
Thank you for doing that. This anxious girl, that was
and
not
then
happening.
Turning around Tuesday and getting back in the car.
And tomorrow you make more phone calls.
Tomorrow more phone calls. And then last night on top of that, I did not sleep well.
No, you didn't. I did. So like freaking dead.
It took me a while to go to sleep. It was probably after 11. And then I woke up at 4 o'clock this morning. It wasn't like I just like kind of woke up. No, at 4 a.m. I just like woke up full awake.
Wow.
Yeah.
I just realized something that we can mention because it hasn't happened yet, but it's about to happen. For the bonus section. One, we're going to go freaking see Endgame, Avengers Endgame on Saturday. Avoiding spoilers for the past week has been wild. Frustrating too, because they're everywhere. And the 13-year-old keeps coming home from school going, I got another damn spoiler today, Mom. And I'm like, I'm so sorry. I wish I could let you be a hermit, but you know,
no.
Education. So we're going to do that. But we're going on Saturday, because Saturday is May the 4th.
Right.
May the 4th be with you. But, oh, and I'm being taken for a steak dinner Saturday night.
Yes.
Because on May the 4th, 2016, John Brownstone asked me to marry him. And we don't ever celebrate this kind of stuff, but we're celebrating it because I want a ribeye, quite frankly. And I don't want to have to cook it.
You're just looking for a reason to have a steak because you are the most non-sentimental person
I know. I don't know. Something about it this year kind of struck me. I was like, oh, it's May the 4th. Oh. May the 4th be with you. I have to say it every time. And then I was like, we should go celebrate. I was also thinking we hadn't had a date night in a couple of months.
True. We haven't.
So we're taking the kids to go see the movie Meal of the Day. Popcorn is our lunch.
Yep.
If you know that I'm on keto, you will recognize that it's not keto. I don't care. And then we'll bring the boys home for dinner. They'll get pizza. They are very happy about that. And we'll go out and we'll have steak. And that is keto. Thank you very much. So yeah, we have that coming up too. And then I was about to like talk about other stuff and then I realized these lovely people would probably like to go about their day.
Yeah, almost an hour and a half later.
Yep. Yeah, I know. I know.
Okay.
We love you guys.
We love you. Thank you so
Thank
much.
Thank you for listening and
listening,
watching.
For being here and
for
watching.
For talking to
and,
us. For putting up with our mutual weirdness.
And her rants.
Hey, I think some people like my rants. I think my rants are a kink for some people.
Hashtag ranting submissive.
I'm okay with that. I'm here for that. Okay, we love you guys. We will see you next week. For reminder, for the live stream, it will be on Wednesday.
Yes.
Okay. Bye.
Bye.